Now joined on Behind Kentucky Basketball by Kyle Wilcher. Kyle, you went a little viral, got a bunch of retweets when it was announced between your two former college coaches, Mark Few and John Calipari, that Gonzaga and Kentucky were going to play each other. To start off there, what was your reaction when you heard the announcement of that game?
Well, it was funny because I woke up and I actually had a ton of Twitter mentions and Instagram messages myself. You know, as soon as they announced it, I was excited because that's two great programs coming together. And as soon as I saw that, I kind of assumed that I was the only player who's played for both programs. So I got a unique interest in both, in this game in particular.
So did you reach out to either Coach Cal or Coach Few to kind of talk through the game?
Yeah, I mean, I text back and forth with both of them over the time. You know, I've been playing overseas, but I've tried to stay, you know, in contact with both those guys because they've just been a huge part of my life. But I was definitely talking to the Gonzaga staff because I ran into them out here, and they're super excited for the series, and I'm excited as a fan and now an alumni of both programs.
So are you going to try to do some commentary on the game, or you're going to be playing at that time of the year, hopefully?
Yeah, I'll definitely be playing around that time of the year. I was kind of messing around with the fans, but that's something I'm definitely interested in. And you know, it's funny is that tweet has kind of led to some opportunities. So it actually looks like I'm going to try to get my feet wet and do some commentating for some FIBA international games. Oh. And just kind of getting my feet wet in the world, see if it's something I'm interested in. And I've been talking to some people I know at ESPN, and I definitely want to do a little segment on the air if they're fortunate to let me on and talk basketball.
That would be awesome. We'd look forward to that. So I'll probably circle back at the end and maybe make you make a prediction or kind of discuss a little more on that game. But you talked about your playing career overseas. Just how has that gone for you? What level are you playing at? And, you know, what teams have you been playing for the last few years?
Yeah, you know, my playing career has taken me all over the globe. I've been fortunate. I played my first year with the Houston Rockets, and then that was an amazing year. Then I actually traveled to Athens, Greece, played in Greece. Then it took me to Malaga, Spain, country or this city that's on the southern coast of Spain. So it's beautiful out there. I played in Turkey for two seasons. Then I came back to Spain again last year. I was actually living on an island. So, man, my life is amazing. It's a blessing to still play the game that I love. And, you know, right now I'm a free agent, so got to see what's next. But there's a lot of cool places in Europe, and obviously would love to make a push back for the NBA as well.
We had Darius Miller, your former mm-hmm. teammate, on, and he talked mm-hmm. about his experience overseas, and he says there's so many cool places to visit over there. What's been some of the cool experiences that you've got to do while being over in Europe?
Man, being in Europe is amazing. You know, me and my wife, we love to travel. We've obviously seen some of the most beautiful places, but it's also given me an opportunity to invest in some foreign real estate. So I own two properties in Spain. So it's been kind of a fun journey because I rent it out to my old basketball clubs, and then it stays open in the summertime. So we're able to visit with family and friends. And so for me, it's been awesome. And it's just kind of opened my world, you know, investment wise, and then kind of got my brain thinking of how I can do things here in the States as well.
That's awesome that you got the opportunity. It seems like you're getting the dip your toe in the international business waters. Did you have any idea? How did you come up with ideas of doing that? Where did that come from?
I mean, to be honest, it was it started with like me and my friend. We were, you know, we were saying like, would you rather get five years of contracts of $100,000, or would you rather have a team give you five apartments worth $100,000 each? And it was like this random argument we made, and I obviously understand the value of real estate. That money's going to go up. You can get people in your places. So I argued that the apartments would be the best route. And that kind of got my brain thinking. And I kind of, one of the years, you know, I'd saved up some money and I just decided to go for it and learn as I go. And that led to my first property, which I own on the southern coast of Spain.
That's awesome. You mentioned your wife. You're kind of a new family man. You have a daughter, right? How old is she?
Yeah, my daughter is 16 months. My wife played basketball at Sacramento State, so she played D1 basketball as well. So basketball is in our family. She's at all my games. And my daughter, you know, actually this morning, my wife was busy, so I actually took my daughter to the basketball gym. I put her in a pack and play, and she watched about an hour of my shooting workout. Didn't even make a peep. She just watched the whole thing. So if I could put my money on, I think she's going to be a shooter as well.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'm a new father myself. I have a 4-month-old. That's impressive that she was that engaged. Yeah, because, I mean, to your point, they're not going to be interested in something they're not interested. They're not going to have an hour of quiet if they're not all about it. So do you have a mini hoop set up for her? Is she getting any work in?
Oh, for sure. She used to be scared of the ball, like when she was little. First of all, congrats on yours. That's amazing. You're going to learn. It's going to keep you busy all the time, but it's a blessing. And so we're working on getting our little mini hoop set up, but we're going to have to, when we travel overseas again, we'll have to set something up so she can get some jumpers up.
That's great. That international competition, have you run into anybody that's kind of not surprised you necessarily, but some guy you knew from the States or kind of had a fun bond from somebody you didn't expect to meet? They could even be an international guy. We've kind of built a friendship that you didn't anticipate to have in your pro career.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing I've seen is like I keep running into familiar faces, and I'm hoping one of these years we can get a, you know, BBN connection out there overseas. But, you know, I see Alex Poitras all the time. I've seen, you know, one of the Harrison twins overseas. I've seen Marcus Lee. So the biggest thing is, you know, when you're overseas, the Americans, we kind of look out for each other. And whenever we play each other, it's always fun because we always go grab dinner or something like that. So it's one of those moments where, you know, obviously some of us would love to be in the NBA, but when you're overseas, you're playing in Greece and you're looking at the water with a friend of yours, you know, from Kentucky, it's a pretty fun thing. And then also last year I was in Spain and got to hang out with Derek Willis a lot and become friends with him. So it's been fun. You know, basketball brings people together, and it's cool to see BBN across the waters.
Yeah, because Darius was talking about the NBA, everybody, you know, you got a Kentucky guy that you played with around. It's fun to know that happens internationally too. You and Derek Willis, kind of not two generations necessarily, but two guys that, you know, didn't play together, had a little of a bond overseas. That's really awesome. Wanted to look back at your time at Kentucky a little bit and just kind of ask, what was your favorite memory? I think I know the answer, but when you were playing for Kentucky.
Yeah, I think my favorite memory is actually something I got on my shelf right here. This is the classic 2012. Wow, it makes me feel old. I got the 2012 championship hat right here in the ring set up. So that's by far my greatest memory. It's just one of those things, like people to this day, like they still don't understand kind of, you know, obviously I transferred and, you know, some people are confused of why I still, like, you know, talk to Kentucky people and, you know, I'm still like, I rep Big Blue Nation. You know, I think that I was part of something that, you know, you can't take away from me. And also, I built so many strong friendships, and in the state of Kentucky, in Lexington, it's kind of hard to ignore, and I don't think I'll ever be able to shake it off.
Yeah, that's something you don't want to shake off. Anytime a team wins a championship together, there's a bond that can never be broken. Of those friendships, I wanted to ask about the Geek Squad and the Goon Squad. Are you aware your YouTube channel still has all those videos up? Because I was, when I was looking you up, I had to go back and remember those. Yeah.
That was a simpler time before social media really took off. But yeah, man, that was quite the time of my life. And it's funny you mentioned it, because I had done an NBA camp in Dallas, and I actually got to spend a weekend with Willie Cauley-Stein, and we actually pulled up some of those videos, and we were just dying laughing at looking at ourselves back in the day. And but yeah, so Jared Polson, I still talk to him, Twani Beckham, Brian Law, all those guys, Sam Malone. So those are friendships you can't take away. And, you know, we go years sometimes without talking, but anytime we see each other, we just pick up where we left off.
And just for the newer, younger listeners, can you kind of give a breakdown of, I'm, I, is I even need clarity, I guess, a little bit. And I was around during those times. Is the Goon Squad just you and Willie? Or how did you break those down?
Yeah, I can't remember. The Geek Squad was a group of us, but the Goonies was me and Willie, and it was just us just being little kids, basically in a college basketball player's body. So we were just always goofing off and doing our thing and traveling. I think we did a trip to LA together, and so it was us just acting a fool.
That's awesome. Yeah, I might have to share those links as well once we get the podcast notes there.
Yeah, please don't do that. No,
back to the game. I know you keep, as you mentioned, you keep track of both schools, both coming off of solid seasons, have a lot of guys coming back. Did you see the social media buzz of the quote unquote attempt to get Timmy to transfer to Lexington? Did you see any of that online?
I didn't see that. I missed that. Was that a pretty big deal?
It was for about a day. And okay. The backstory is basically Oscar and Drew were at one of the Naismith events and kind of hit it off. And everybody, I think one said to the other that they should play together as a joke. And you know how that goes.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. You don't joke with either fan base. I've learned. So no, but that's going to be quite the matchup. Obviously, I've been overseas, so I haven't been able to, see the rosters like from start to finish, but those are two guys, obviously all American candidates, and getting to see, I think that's the most exciting part for a fan is just getting to see that. And then also the clash of fan bases, I think Kentucky's going to Gonzaga the first, and then I would love to see Gonzaga going to Rupp, so those are just games that are just epic college experiences. Like some of my best games were those huge, quote unquote rival games, going to play at Indiana, going to playing North Carolina at Rupp, stuff like that. Those are games you'll always remember, and win or lose for both programs, it's just a win for both parties.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And you're correct, it'll be in Spokane this year. So if there are any Kentucky fans that are making that trek, what would they expect on their visit? Where should they see?
If you go to the Northwest, if you're just going for a little vacation, there's plenty to do. There's a lot of nature and stuff like that. But expect to see a lot of Gonzaga fans. It's funny because when I transferred programs, I didn't know the culture was like that as well. And both fan bases, they're all about their basketball. So. They're super friendly though. I think if you rock your Kentucky gear, it's not a hostile environment. You're safe out there. So I think it's gonna be fun. I wish I was in the States. Do you know when the game is?
I think the date was for the second or third week in November. I can look it up. I didn't have it on my calendar yet. Yeah, I think everybody wishes you could be there, but we understand the professional career that'll take you out of the picture a little bit for that game specifically. But those two programs, I'm sure you get this question a lot. You got to play for two like legends of the sports, Hall of Famers, Mark Few and John Calipari. Were there big differences? Did you, a lot of your I think people understand the basketball aspect of it, but the off the court, the mentality that you had to have such a long professional career, to have the business success you have, what did they kind of teach you to be able to live this more, I'm sure you would agree, kind of a dream out playing for basketball for so long?
Yeah, I mean, I think the major similarity of both programs is they both, both Few and Calipari, they preach that family atmosphere and all the ex-players and coming back to campus and playing, playing pickup, working out. I think that's the biggest thing. And even when I was at both, we'd have dinners at Few's house, barbecues at Calipari. That was the major similarity. I think the biggest difference in both those guys is just their approach to the game. It's two different styles of play. Calipari is the dribble drive offense. You have variations of that, and he still, breaks the game down. But, he's letting his players really play. And I think when I went to Gonzaga, it was beneficial to the way I played is because it's a little more structured, inside out, you usually have guys like Timmy, Sabonis, when I was there, I could shoot threes, but I also posted up, way more than I would at Kentucky. So I think it's just the philosophies of, you know, the X and O's is probably what separates both the coaches.
Gotcha. Yeah. And that game's the November 20th is the date for the matchup coming up in this season. You talked about the family aspect, everything. There are, I'm sure, some personality differences, though. And I think they were probably kind of evident when Cal made that call to Coach Few and he was on his boat. I guess, was that a good experience to kind of have coaches with different demeanors to where you could understand, you know, to look, as Cal always says, listen to the message, not the volume of his voice necessarily and things?
Yeah, I mean, Coach Cal, he's got the marketing down, the social media, all those kind of aspects. And like you said, Coach Few, he's a little more simple guy. You know, he's in the off season, he's fishing and he's with his family and he's like, get the cameras up for me, I don't want to talk to anyone kind of vibe, you know? So it's definitely interesting to see both those work, but you know, both those guys, now that they're on the level they can, they can recruit everyone. And so that's the benefit of having those kind of personalities. But like you said, yeah, it's like they're both, their demeanors are very different, but then at the same time, they're one of the most respected college coaches in the nation, both of them respectively. So they're kind of the same in the same world.
Mm-hmm. I always do like to, if you want to share your social media so people can follow along, because I'm looking up your social media, seems like you have a nice group of clips from your basketball game on your Twitter. You mentioned playing for the Rockets. You got to go again with James Harden, I guess, recently, right?
Yeah, no, I was, I did like a little mini camp with the Toronto Raptors and, you know, I went down there to play and I was supposed to be playing with the Raptors. And then when I got down there, James made them switch the team. So I was on his team because he loves having shooters with him. And obviously we were friends when I was with Houston and, you know, he's one of those guys that I have no idea why he always makes an effort with me, but he's one of the best dudes out there. And even though he's a superstar, you know, he still treats me like, you know, just like an average guy. So I respect that about him. And he's a hilarious dude.
That's really cool. That's the stuff that I think probably surprises some people, that you see these superstars and it's nice to hear that they're, you know, normal, nice people in a lot of instances, because so often we get caught up in the basketball gossip with, you know, the KD stuff and all that things. It's fun to hear the other side of the page with those guys like James Harden.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, even guys like KD, is like, he was up here in Portland just playing in a softball charity event, you know? So it's like, this guy is just like average guy, just wants to be normal, you know what I mean? So it's definitely interesting because I've gotten to see them up close and personal, and all those guys are super down to earth and super relaxed.
So where can people follow you online?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I have Twitter, Instagram. I think my name is just KWILTJ. Super simple.
There you go. Kyle, we really appreciate your time and good luck in the next season in your basketball career, wherever you land.
Of course. I appreciate it. Go Big Blue, and we'll be in touch.